testimony of one for whom we prayed and thank God. That's our theme this morning. Would you open your Bible with me this morning, Psalm 95, verse 2. And we continue with this idea of being thankful to God for all his blessings. I thought as I was preparing the message maybe I'll do several sermons on this general topic of hindrances to holiness. And the first one I thought of is thanklessness. You know, Romans chapter 1 talks about they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, neither were they thankful. They became vain in their imagination. Their foolish heart was darkened. And you can read the declension of society and the increase of wickedness, all what we're seeing today. And it started, I believe, with thanklessness. We have received so much. She mentioned in her testimony about just the blessing that we enjoy being born here rather than over in India or some other place. We think about the awful wickedness that we're seeing today in America in the promotion of evil people's ideas of what they want rather than what God said and the rebellion against the Lord. And yet, as I listen to her describe the situation of these women over there, I think how terrible. They're in a society that's much worse about enslaving people in sinful activities, even against their will. And you know what the goal of all of it is? It's the same one that's here, the love of money, the root of all evil. And we need to pray and be thankful to God. Psalm 95 says, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is great God and a great king above all gods," little g, "in his hand are the deep places of the earth, and the strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hand formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath they should not enter into my rest." By way of introduction to this thought, I read that psalm. Think about our presence before God. Some today have described what we do in the Lord's house on Sundays as worship. And though I believe that should be a very important thing as we come together, I believe what Pastor Baker said years ago when I first came to this church, worship is what we do for God every day. And I might add, everywhere. You worship God by obeying him here and out there in the world, in your home, where you work. That's how we react. We obey God. But it's a wonderful time to come apart on the Lord's Day and other special days in a group of believers and thank God for all his blessings. He's surely been good to us, so much better than we deserve. Think about the blessing of it, his relationship with us as believers. God is our Father in heaven. We remember the passage where the disciples said to Jesus, "Teach us to pray." And he said, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven." We have a relationship with him that is personal. It's not a thing just because you were born in America. That's a great misconception that people have. Well, I'm a Christian because I'm here and I'm in the United States. No, that's not true. You're a Christian if you have Christ in your heart. You've been born again by faith in Jesus Christ, and he is your Father in heaven by the new birth. We become joint heirs with Christ. I mean, there's so many things we could add in explaining the blessings of our relationship with God. He is one who is concerned for us. He always wants to give us the best. In fact, in the gospel, he talked about praying to the Father and expecting him to answer. He says, if your son comes to you and asks you for a fish, would you give him a stone? You know, he's not going to give bad things to you. You know, the world often misunderstands this whole idea of God granting our prayer requests. They have the false idea that God is some heavenly genie, that if you rub the magic lamp, you say the right words and you get what you want, whether it's good or not. No, God is a loving Father, and He'll not give us what would destroy us. He knows what's right. And though I understand what people mean when they say, He didn't answer my prayer, what they're really saying is, He didn't give me what I asked for the way I wanted to get it. He did answer your prayer. He may have just said no. Or He may have said not yet. Because God knows what's best. And a relationship with Him as our Father ought to teach us to trust Him. Because truly, our loving Father in heaven would be better interested in us than even we are in ourselves. He knows more than we know. He sees more than we see. Have you ever thought of the conundrum of the people praying for rain and the other people praying for it to stop? You know, it's harvest time in the fall, and it's hot and miserable, and you're saying, Lord, send some rain. But the farmer said, no, not yet. I need to get my crops in. And God has to make all those decisions. Aren't you thankful that God is all-knowing and all-wise, more than us? And people question, say, well, why do you allow this thing to happen and that thing? I don't know. God knows, and I trust that He who knows best will give the best relationship. We have this relationship before Him, and yet He desires our fellowship. Can you imagine that? He doesn't need us, we need Him, yet He desires us to come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with song. In fact, in another place, the scripture talks about the sacrifice of praise with our lips. God accepts our words of thanksgiving and praise to Him as something He receives and treasures from us. It is worthwhile. Let the people, the redeemed of the Lord say so, the scripture tells us. We ought to praise God. I want to challenge you, if you can come back tonight and be a part of our evening service, I want you to think and prepare to share something special that you want to say, I want to thank God for this. Whatever it is, I mean, it's very easy for us to thank God for saving me. The same. Well, thank God for that, amen? That's important. But perhaps there's something that stands out in recent days or recent years that just really the Lord put on your heart. If you'd like to share tonight, I'd like to make that opportunity for us as we join together this evening to thank God with our voice. And then, of course, we thank God with our life, in our relationship to Him, serving Him, coming to the house of the Lord, even as we've done today. Be thankful for everything that we have. You know, so many people don't think they have anything to be thankful for, but really we do. We have so much. We ought to thank God for His unspeakable gift. Of course, salvation, I've already mentioned that. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. And then remember 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now notice, He didn't say for everything. He said in everything. There are bad things that happen, and we don't understand why necessarily, but said in the midst of it all, thank God. I remember reading about an old preacher getting ready to go out, and as he's going out, he fell down, tripped over something, got up, dusted himself off, and said, well, thank God that's over. He went through it, amen. He didn't really enjoy getting bumped, but he said, thank God I got through it, and go on to the next thing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It might not be what you wanted. It might not be what you would have planned, but God has given us a promise, Romans 8:28. You've heard it over and over. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. God works things around in ways we never comprehend. Sometimes we get a glimpse of it later on. I remember after 2001, 9/11, and hearing stories of people who something happened and they couldn't get to work on that day. The car broke down, they missed their train. I don't remember all the details. At the time, they were upset. Why does this have to happen to me? But boy, after all the events unfolded, they said, thank God, my life was spared. You don't know the end of the thing. If a country western singer can get the idea in his song, Thank God for unanswered prayer. Again, the wrong word, he shouldn't have said it, was unanswered. It was answered differently than what he wanted when he was young. But he saw over the years it would have been a whole lot different life had he got what he asked for back then. And God knows what's best. And by the way, that reminds me of something I've been meditating upon over the last several years. Be careful of thinking about, well, what if? Well, what if I'd done this? And what if I'd done that? And what if I'd gone out with so-and-so or married somebody else? What would life be like? And you start dreaming about, you know, that's what TV does and movies. It's all what if. It's all fantasy. You know what that does? That makes you devalue what is. What is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You can't go back. You can't change things. You're here now. Thank God. Somebody else wrote a song, I thank God for the winding road that led me to you. One of those tearjerker songs. I like them. But I think, what a thought. Even though I didn't enjoy all the wandering paths, the failures, the mistakes, the heartaches, I'm here now. Thank God. I'm trusting the Lord for his blessings. And use that. Then remember to thank God in the midst of the trials of the opposition of the devil that he's with us. 1 Peter 5 verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Thank God he dwells within us and will guide us and protect us. We'll look to him. He's able to do abundantly above all we ask or think in Christ Jesus. We ought to thank God for that. Thank God for the blessings of the Lord wanting to use us in his ministry, in his life. She mentioned in her request that we consider, God, what can I do to reach people out there? Not only the ones in India that she was meeting, but all. The Lord's called us all to be witnesses unto him. Now, to whom do we witness? Everybody that we come around. Everybody we meet, everybody that sees us or hears about us, we are witnesses unto him to them. So that means that we have to be careful how we live, what we do, and what we say. And then remember this promise, little is much when God is in it. That's not the scripture, but I remember the event when Jesus took the little 5 loaves, 2 fishes, looked up heaven, blessed it, and broke it, and gave to the people. They all did eat and were full, and they gathered up a whole lot more than they gave out. Because God can bless what we give. You might think, well, God can't use me, I'm not eloquent. That's what Moses said. You remember that whole dialogue there in Exodus? I can't speak. Well, Moses, send your brother Aaron, he can talk good. And then you read the rest of the story, I don't hear Aaron saying much. Moses seemed to have got his tongue fixed real fast because he's always talking to Pharaoh. But it was an excuse, wasn't it? Well, they say that's a skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. Excuses. We try to get out. But God knew what he wanted. God can use us. Well, Moses said, but I'm old now. I'm 80 years old. My time is past. I tried before and failed. God said, go now. Often people get the idea, well, I'm older now, I don't have the strength and the youth I used to have. It's time for to relax and just wait to get to heaven. No, let God use you where you are now as much as he can. Shall I be carried on to glory on flowery beds of ease when others strive to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? No, we need to serve the Lord all the way. And then remember the challenge of Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We must choose to be used of God. And in a sense, maybe we all need to come to that place where we say, here am I, Lord, send me. Isaiah chapter 6 describes the event in the life of Isaiah the prophet, where he saw the Lord high, lifted up, and holy, 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 cried the angelic beings around the throne. And he said, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. The Lord said, all right, the angel, take the tong, take the fire, coal, put on his lips, symbolic of cleansing. And then the Lord said, who will go for us? Whom shall we send? And Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. And the Lord said, all right, go. And then he asked him, well, how long? He said, till they're all dead and gone, till there's nobody left to listen. And then in Ezekiel, he said, go and you tell them you'll be like unto them a prophet. They'll say he has he's like a singer with a pretty voice, but they won't do what you say. Nevertheless, when all this judgment comes upon them, they'll say, yeah, there was a prophet among us. God told us before it was coming, and we wouldn't listen. You know, God's ways are above our ways. We're not going to be successful. We're not going because we think people will accept what we do and want to have a great numbers. We're going because God said go and trust God for the increase. The Lord blessed us in using us every day. What a beautiful example. Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Isn't it good to know you can trust God in all things? I read an illustration of this. Robert Bruce related the story. While walking down a busy street one day, I heard someone singing. His sweet voice was distinguishable even above the noise of the traffic. When I located him, I saw he had no legs. He's pushing himself through the crowd in a wheelchair. When I caught up with him, I said, I want to know, friend, that to hear you singing from a person in your condition gives everyone else a lift. I answered with a smile when I stopped looking at what I, or he answered with a smile, and he said, when I stopped looking at what I'd lost and began concentrating with all I had left, I found much for which I could rejoice and be happy. For what are you thankful? Here's another illustration to try and emphasize it to our personal lives. He said, I thank God for the taxes I pay because it means I have a job. The clothes that fit a little too tight because it means I had enough to eat. For my shadow who watches me work because it means I'm out in the sunshine. For a lawn that needs to be mowing, windows that need to be cleaning, gutters that need fixing because I have a home. The spot I find at the far end of the parking lot because it means I'm able to walk. My huge bill to heat the house, because it means I'm warm. All the complaining I hear about our government, because we have, I'm thankful to God, it means we have freedom of speech. The lady behind me in church who sings off key, I don't know anything like that, means that I can hear. The pieces of laundry and ironing, because it means my loved ones are nearby. The alarm goes off early in the morning, 4:30, because it means I'm alive. Weariness, achy muscles at the end of the day, because it means I've been productive. What a blessing to look at life with a thankful heart. And remember that God is working in your life and heart. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15 said, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Be careful, because when you're not thankful, you can become bitter. You can become hurtful. And defile many. Most of this message is meant to be positive, but I want to remind you of the negative. Don't miss the opportunity to give a good witness, because you are the only witness there is. And if you're a bad one, it hurts. Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, gave another illustration of this thing. He said, ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the light of the world. He said, if the salt has lost its savor, it's thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under foot of men. If you hide your light under a bushel, it doesn't give light. So the point is, if you're a worthless witness, if you're a bad example, all your worthwhile is be thrown down and walked on, because you lost your savor. Savor is the taste, the efficacy of the salt. Well, how can we fail of the grace of God? I don't believe we can lose God's gift of salvation. Oh, but we can sure miss his blessing in our life. We can sure miss the opportunity we have to encourage others. You never know whom you're talking, to whom you are speaking, and what those words might mean later on. One of the things I thought about when I gave the challenge concerning thankfulness, think, who was it that talked to you about the Lord? Who was it that input into your life that led you to become saved? You maybe can think of several people, but usually there's one person or a couple of people that were prominent in your memory that came along and shared with you the simple plan of God's offer of salvation. You ought to thank God for that person. And thank God that you could be that person for someone else, because God wants to use us. One of the stories that Michael Loftus told when he was with us several years ago in their ministries to the people that don't have a written language, they've never learned to read. For whatever reason, these girls in India, I was told, are not allowed to learn to read when they're enslaved in the sex trade. They have no way to hear the gospel through a tract or through the Bible reading that they can't read. Now, they're giving them education now after, but how do you reach people like that? Well, you go and tell them. And he related the story as they've been providing some of these recordings of scripture on the little flash drive type things, the MP3 players. I'm sorry, that's a little different. But anyway, you push a button and it talks. And they listened to the scriptures as they worked. And what a blessing it was to those who were eager to hear. And I think we are so blessed here in these United States. You can find a Bible anywhere. You can get on the internet and listen to preaching. You can watch it on TV sometimes, on the radio. We have great opportunity. But think of so many people who don't. Thank God for those who've spoken to you. And then say, God, how can I be used? To receive everything we have is from him. The last verse I want to note tonight, or this morning, is James 1:17. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Thank God for everything, because God has given us the ability to use our life for him, and he gives eternal rewards. Let's stand for invitation. It's 262. Search me, O God, and know my heart today.